You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Talking Cars. And today we've got a very special guest. He's an FCA Jeep engineer. So Mickey Bly is the powertrain engineer for the new Wrangler 4x4. 4x8. And we are going to be talking all about, electric Jeeps. How cool is that?
Yeah, we're stoked.
Yeah. I mean, you know, who would have thunk that a year ago that we'd be out there discussing an electric powertrain in, of all things, a Wrangler. Sit back and relax, or keep driving if you're driving. TFL Talking Cars is on the air, the world's most popular car podcast. Okay, maybe not yet, but we're working on it.
Mickey, can I just have you say your title for the record?
Yeah, Mickey Bly. I'm the head of FCA's Global Propulsion Systems. So in old speak, that's powertrain. New speak, propulsion systems.
So, FCA in America really only has, if I'm not mistaken, one hybrid powertrain, and that's in the Pacifica, right? So this will be your second hybrid powertrain, and to put it in a Wrangler is pretty darn cool.
Yeah, you know, from a little bit of correction there, we've had a mild hybrid or mid-voltage hybrid system now with our e-torque. It's been in the Wrangler before. It was in the Ram 1500 also. And then if you think of us as a global company, we just recently announced our Renegade and Compass PHEV, their plug-in hybrid, over to European locations right now. So we're really rolling out a lot of technology at the same time, but Wrangler will be added to the family. That's correct.
Yeah, so let's talk about the Wrangler a little bit. Let's get people up to speed. If you haven't heard or if you haven't watched the videos, you guys basically introduced it, about two weeks ago. And let's go over the basic facts about it, Tommy.
Yeah, so it's a pretty impressive looking vehicle, especially considering that the 4xe now has more torque than even the 3-liter diesel. Mickey, can you kind of go over the big headline numbers for us?
Yeah, well, great question. You know, we're really happy with what we've done with this vehicle. First of all, we started with the base vehicle, which is an incredible off-road capability of the Wrangler. And the tenets of that was, don't screw that up. We still want our customers to have an unbelievable off-road capability, free air, open air type environment. So we took our 2-liter turbo engine. We've added onto the front of it our e-torque system, which is a small motor and the electric motor on the front of the engine. And then we added a very large electric motor between the engine and the transmission, actually part of the transmission. So you add all that that power together. So we'll have 375 combined horsepower and 470 foot-pounds of torque. So when you tie it all together from the electric machine on the front, you got the combustion engine and then the transmission electric machine, that's what we're able to deliver. So as you said, it will be the most capable Wrangler we've made to date.
And another pretty impressive fact too is, you know, this new plug-in Wrangler is rolling with a 17 kilowatt hour battery, which is pretty big for a typical plug-in hybrid. Talk to me about why you went with such a large battery pack.
Well, there's a couple of reasons. First of all, we tried to maximize what we could put in the battery. It's kind of a two-dimensional puzzle you got to put together. You want as much battery to get as much electric range as you can, and then you want to have put it within a constraint of a cost side, because as you get bigger batteries, it costs more and more. for that. So we just tried to play for the sweet spot, and we also wanted to make sure the battery was packaged in a convenient area inside the vehicle. So it's underneath the second row seat. You can flip the seat up. It's sitting right there. So we bounded ourselves by packaging environment, how much electric, all electric fun we want the customers to be able to have, and then kind of the cost also. So we think we've got it pretty good.
What's the pure electric range on it? What's your range on electricity alone?
Yeah, so we have not certified yet with the EPA yet. So we still have to go through all the formal parts of this. So it looks like right now we'll be up to about 25 miles of all electric range. And then what we call MPGE, or the federal government rates, is miles per gallon equivalent. And that looks like right now will be approaching 50.
Yeah, which
so
is
think about
incredible.
That in a Wrangler, 50 miles per gallon.
That's incredible for a vehicle that's, you know, like a brick into the wind.
Yeah. It's got a profile. Let's just say that.
So, Mickey, one question we've seen a lot and one question I have is, do you lose any performance once you've drained that high voltage battery? So are you going to see any degradation in terms of 0 to 60 when that battery is depleted?
Great question. So as you said, if you plug in the vehicle at night or in the daytime at work or whatever, the first thing we'll be able to do is allow the customer to select. But when we start up, we'll be as a plug-in hybrid, as a hybrid mode. So we'll be trying to optimize between electrical propulsion and gas, and really playing a very smart computer inside saying, what is the best way to deliver energy to the wheels? So as we start depleting that battery down to the lowest level, or 0% left, we will go into just a pure hybrid mode. So it'll be like any hybrid vehicle you see today. We will try to regain some energy while we're driving. So if you imagine going up and down hills in an area, as you come downhill, we're actually pulling that regenerative energy back into the battery so we can get a little more electric range out of it. You go down a big mountain, we'll fill the battery as much up as we can. So you don't really deplete the battery completely and stop using it. So then we're running as a 2-liter engine, a turbo engine, and a little bit of electric propulsion, and we're tying those things together. If you really take it to the fundamentals, a Wrangler today has a 2-liter turbo engine in it, same engine. It'll be just like driving that at the worst case.
I gotcha. So if I've run the range from 25 to 0 and I plant it from a stop merging onto a highway, will it be slower than if I had the battery at 100%?
Between 100% and 0, no, because that little short-term drive, that acceleration, quick, it'll feel the same.
I got
done that on purpose. We keep a little bit of reserve in our back pocket, so those situations. If you're going to be towing a trailer, you know, you'd feel some differences from electric propulsion for long distances, but not short bursts like that. 0 to 60, 0 to 100 to feel the same.
Gotcha.
All right, so let's talk about recharge time. 17 kilowatt hour battery, level one, how long? You know, if you just plug it into the wall.
Yeah, right now the level one will be around 12 hours, which is a 110 plug in your outside 15 amp circuit on in your household breaker. And level two, we can really optimize that in good conditions. We can get it to about 2.5 hours.
So I messed this up in my previous video.
Yeah.
I misread the spec sheet, and it was totally my fault. But I said in the previous video it was a 2.5 kilowatt onboard charger. I called it pokey. But now I understand it's 7.2 kilowatt onboard charger. So it is a true level two charger.
Absolutely.
Onboard.
Yep.
Now, was there any thought given to incorporating level three DC fast charging like the Mitsubishi Outlander, or was that not really on the table?
Things to come, maybe.
Okay.
Things to come, maybe. Gotcha.
All right. Now, let me ask you this. So you've got the eTorque, right, which is a 48-volt system, right? That's still in the
Yes.
So you've got a 48-volt system, and then you got a 17-kilowatt-hour battery. That's a lot of electricity going on, right? That's a lot of complexity. Why did you guys decide to sandwich the motor, basically in place of a torque converter? Why did you decide to put it in there?
Well, great question. I love talking to you guys because you're techies and you understand how this stuff works. So there's a lot of places you can put an electric machine inside of, you know, geeky engineers speak, we call it P0, P1, P2, P3, P4, as you go from the front of the car all the way to the back. What we tried to do, looking at this from a best fit for this vehicle, and as I said, we start off, don't lose the Wrangler capability, which means you need to have four-wheel drive. Don't lose the ability to have full traction off-road events. So we wanted to make sure we do that. And if you take those scenarios and bullet down, either you're going to go full BEV or you're going to go something that's not capable of meeting those. So a P2, which is what we call this system and in the speak, we partnered with ZF. So we're still using a ZF partner for the transmission with our Torque Flight transmission. And it just made sense. Where do you want to put the electric machine? And it fits perfect. It is really a nice way of doing it for this type of vehicle, rear wheel drive vehicle.
So does that mean that when you have the motor sandwiched in between the engine and the transmission, you still have full use of the transfer case in every drive mode? So you can run EV mode on low range if you're out on Hell's Revenge, just like you could run EV mode just driving to school.
Yeah, absolutely. And in fact, what's really cool about that, and our guys have been out there, unfortunately with COVID, I didn't get to go on the big trip in spring to try it myself. But, you know, hours and hours and hours out on the trail running full electric. So we have a selector switch on the lower left-hand side of the steering column where you can run in hybrid mode, you can run in pure electric mode, or you can run in e-save mode. And that e-save mode is you basically keep your battery at whatever charge, and we don't let you drain the battery. But you put that electric mode, and you can just have fun out in the outback, off-road, wherever you want to go, fully electric, just the quiet of the day.
So I guess like the e-save would be, let's say you wanted to go, there's two potential scenarios, right? First would be if you want to go to Moab and just run pure electric, like fins and things, you could hit e-save, then you turn and on all EV when you're on the trail, right? And that way you're not using any gasoline at all. Or in places which is coming, like, you know, like let's say like the city of London, right, where you have to go all electric if you don't want to pay huge amounts of tax, you could also use it that way, right? So it works in an urban environment. In kind of an off-road environment.
Yeah, in fact, the European city, the mega cities are starting to get that more and more. As you said, Paris is talking about, London has got it from, I think it's 20 pounds a day if you don't have electric capability inside the perimeter, the M25, I think it is, M1 over there. So it is a lot of that environmental, social, hey, we want to be able to have vehicles driving all electric mode, but we don't want to limit that's the only thing. So yes, that's a perfect example. Shanghai, Beijing, others are doing it too. And this vehicle will be sold in all markets.
One question I have for you is, if you look at the realm of plug-in hybrids, they are typically very road-going vehicles. So, you know, RAV4, Prime, even something like the Range Rover PHEV is probably not going to be in the same off-road situation as a new Wrangler 4xe. What are some of the challenges of incorporating a high-voltage system in a vehicle that still has to cross 30 inches of water?
Oh, well, you know, that's a great, great question. First of all, the vehicle's fully capable of doing what you said from a fording, 30 inches of fording. And we made sure that we designed it that way. We know these vehicles get water inside of them. You know, people get them, wakes coming in, and we got all kinds of cautions we have to do. The good news is between the sealing of the battery, the sealing of the motor, the sealing of the wires, the technology exists. You know, there are devices that work underwater, electrical in industrial areas or commercial areas or even military areas. So we were able to incorporate the best technology to make sure there's no concerns at all. So you drive away, have fun in the river with the fording specs that we've given you, and we made sure of that. So yes, it's something kind of in the back of your mind. Maybe when you're a little kid, your mom or dad warned you about, you know, playing water electricity, but this vehicle is fully capable.
So, you know, we've only seen pictures of it. Like you said, your engineers have had it out on the trail. When you're in pure electric mode, what does it sound like?
Well, it's funny. I had one home a couple weeks ago. I was talking about before the reveal, and I wanted to experience it just me, you know, not have like prep special vehicles for me. So I put about 500 miles on the vehicle over about 9 days. And while I was happy and proud of what the team's been working on, I had my son in the car. And we left my neighborhood and it was fully charged, battery charged overnight. He goes, "Dad, this thing is really quiet." And I was like, "What do you mean?" He says, it sounds really cool. It sounds futuristic. It sounds, you know, spacey kind of thing. So it really is. It is a really quiet, smooth ride. So then you take the top off, take the doors off, everything else off road. You got all the nature and environment. We do have a pedestrian alert system on it, which is regulated and differently, unfortunately, right now around the world. So at very low speed, we do have this white noise producing device, which is regulated. So you will at very, very low speeds hear that.
So what does that sound like? Is it just, because I know, you know, different manufacturers have different sounds. So did you give some thought to like making some custom Jeep sounds? You know?
Well, you know, it's funny. We have not released that intentionally. So we've got a few more tweaks to do. Our design guys are working on that, the spirit of the Jeep. And I've heard a lot of different ones, so I don't want to comment on it. So,
I suggest Guns N' Roses, but that's just me.
That's funny.
Okay, go for it.
So one of the big challenges with any battery electric vehicle or even plug-in hybrid is managing battery temperatures. And I imagine if you're out, you know, on the rocks and it's a 100-degree day, there's definitely going to be some of those stresses on the battery. How have you been able to keep the battery cool? And then maybe how do you keep the battery from being too cold in the winter?
Yeah. People ask, and not like you, I'll say other people who don't have the technical background, you know, wonder about batteries and, you know, what are they like? And I really say they're like humans. They really do like to be about the same temperature we do, 70 degrees Fahrenheit. If you keep a battery at that temperature its whole life, it's great. You get it too hot, it gets a little bit uncomfortable. You get it too cold, it wants to find a warm space. So we kind of take that mentality of, we got humans in the car, let's keep the battery similar to that. And what we do, the battery is inside the cabin compartment. So as the customer or the driver cools himself or heats him or herself in the vehicle, we do the same thing with the battery. We have the ability to cool it. So we have a cooling loop inside the battery. And we also have heating elements that allow us to heat that cooling loop and keep it at that optimum temperature. So we're able to manage that battery very, very well to a very nice cool temperature, or I'll say stable temperature.
So did you have to beef up the cooling system on the Wrangler? Did you have to, you know, re-engineer the AC system in order to accommodate the battery?
We had to put some extra loops and lines and pumps, because obviously getting coolant to the rear of the passenger compartment was very important for us to do that. But it's very insignificant. I mean, the heating capacity and cooling capacity of the car is no great strain on the vehicle.
All right, and a quick question. Do you limit the top speed in pure EV mode? I'm guessing you probably do.
You know what? I don't know the answer to that. I'm going to say I don't know. We can follow up with you if there's any top speed. I know I was driving on the highway on I-75 heading north up to the lakes. I didn't notice a limit that I was running into. I just don't know.
Okay, fair enough.
So, Mickey, how did you have to change the Wrangler to accommodate the larger battery? Did you have to change anything in the drivetrain? Did you have to change anything with the suspension? I mean, for a lot of people out there looking to modify a Wrangler, is there anything that really is significantly different between the 4xe and the
Riverbed? Yeah, when you put your 40s on, what's going to happen?
Obviously our Mopar guys are really chomping at the bit to get a hold of this and start doing some things with it for the aftermarket side of it. But, you know, in general, and I'll say this in general, we did not have to make any accommodations for the electrification system on here. Yes, it's running at a slightly different ride height. It's got to accommodate the forward rear balance, because we now have a battery in the back, has a little more weight. I think we added about 400 pounds to the total vehicle, the system. So we had to retune the springs a little bit. But in general, the vehicle, the Wrangler feels, looks, handles, behaves just like a traditional Wrangler.
So I guess that means you could lift it, right? You can go out and put your 35s on. I don't know about 40s, but, you know, it's yeah. The cool thing.
We encourage you to work with our Mopar operations, and they will clear. They will take care of any modifications that are allowed.
Yeah, the cool thing about electricity is torque, right? And that's what you need when you're off-roading, and electricity does it, and it does it instantly, which is really cool.
You know, it's funny you say that. When people get in the car, including myself, if you're not an EV fan or an EV person, you don't really understand what instantaneous torque is. You know, you turn that power on, you bring the motors and machines, they're at full torque as soon as you hit them. I was driving again up 75, and you know, you're going 50, 55, you punch it, and it is just, it's not a neck snapper, but I would tell you, you feel the rush of the vehicle, because that power just keeps pushing all the way through the speed range. It was really cool.
So have you played with the regen in like low range with hill descent control on? Are you actually putting any power back into the battery if you've got the trail control on?
If it makes sense to do it. It's a extremely complicated controls activity to handle all that torque positioning. But we will do whatever it takes between the normal engine braking that we do, the electric machine braking, that now we have two machines we can play with, and then finally with the brakes that we can bring on. So we do what's called optimized charging. So we have an optimizer, it runs inside the hybrid control processor, And its whole mission is, how do I save as much energy? How do I use the least amount of gas or gasoline in it? And it's always making those calculations, you know, thousands every second of what can I do to be best on this.
So in real world terms, does that mean, you know, if you get a 4xe, you won't have to replace your brake pads as often?
Well, in general, you know, you talk to anybody with electrified vehicle, that's one of the things you see, is that the wear and tear on the vehicle, the normal wear and tear on the vehicle does decrease. Because as you said, every time we get a chance to slow down, you lift your foot up, we take that, instead of allowing braking to take place, we try to get that recuperative brake blending. We bring the electric motors on it and reverse them basically to get that energy. And you're right. You know, people are always saying, well, my brakes last forever what they used to in traditional ones. So yes, there will be very consistent performance in that case.
Hey, did you? So we had a Tesla Model X that we tried to turn into an off-roader, and it didn't go so well for a number of reasons. But one of the things that we found was that because it didn't have a low-speed transfer case, it was using huge amounts of power, you know, off-roading. Basically, anytime it had to go up a pretty steep hill, it's a significant amount of electricity you're using.
Yeah.
What is your testing found? Obviously, you've got a low-speed transfer case, so you're able to, you know, to maximize that power. But still, I would think you're using, you know, a good amount of power to go up pretty steep hills.
Yeah, as you said, we still have the transfer case in there, and the mechanical advantage you gain combining electric machines and mechanical advantage is where we're able to do that. Power is power, or, you know, whatever you need, and how do you get it? Do you take it purely electric, or do you use the mechanical? Gears are amazing things, that the gears and clutches, they've been around for a really long time, and it really helps you get up that. As I said, we've got guys that have been out west on the off-road trails, hours and hours and hours driving electrically out there. So, and the best part about this is, unlike pure electric, is if you do happen to drain the battery, guess what? We turn the engine on and you finish your day with your normal gas propulsion.
So one question we received a few times is in kind of regards to charging the battery constantly if you're using it to commute on every day. So for example, like a lot of BEVs try to limit you from charging full every day to reserve the capacity of the battery, you know.
Right, degradation. Usually 80% and 90%.
Yeah. Is there any concern of charging your 4xe battery to 100% consistently regularly?
Okay. Not at all. A little bit you brought earlier the conversation was about DC fast charging. There are some companies with DC fast charging. You know, you don't get a full linear, whatever, let's say it's 50 kilowatts or 100 kilowatts or even, you know, something 200, 350. It's not linear. You know, it'll bring you up and then it tapers off very quickly at the end as you start trying to top it up, or using a old term, trickle charging, trying to just put a little bit in the battery. So, For this vehicle, no issue. Charge it every night. Do whatever you need to do. Charge it in the morning. Charge it at work. Whatever. No problem. If you ever go back to work these days.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. let's look at the flip side of that coin, right? Which is, you could have this vehicle and just drive it and never charge it up, right? You could just fill it up with gasoline, and then, you know, it'll do its own thing, and you will never have to actually plug it in if that's something you chose to do. I don't know why you would, but they're like, my wife probably would do that.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, if the battery's not fully charged, we still then drive it like a hybrid. So a traditional hybrid electric vehicle, we try to grab as much energy as possible, put it back to the wheels. So we're always doing that blending, even if you don't plug it in to get the big battery capacity.
So, Mickey, was there any thought given to any kind of plugs or access for high voltage power? So if you're on a campsite and you've got a little fifth or a camper behind you, any possibility for like 240 volt from the pack?
Yes. So there's a lot of discussions in the industry on this. I can tell you, at the launch of this vehicle, we won't have any type of offboard power generation or power capability. Not a negative. You'll have a 110, you'll have a 12-volt accessory plugs in there, but none of the high normal. Let's see what happens soon. How about that?
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, 17 kilowatt hours is a lot of power. You could certainly do a lot with that at a campsite.
Yeah, for sure.
So what else? Any other questions, Tommy?
I think we've got most of the big ones down.
Yeah. How about let's talk about the plug. Why did you decide to put it kind of, there's a lot of places you could put it, but you kind of put it in front of the A-pillar there. Why there? Why not, like, you know, in the back or under the plate, or, you know, like in the old
stuff? Yeah. You know, we let our design studio and our design office really help craft what this vehicle is looking like. I think it's a beautiful piece of work. You know, it keeps all the traditional lines of the vehicle. And there is a, you know, I'll say somewhat of a common location that people like to pull into garage and their garages or parking spaces and like that front left location for a plug in general. Doesn't mean it has to be there, but that's kind of where a lot of the industry has gone. And for us, it's a perfect place to plug right in, you know, using that area that we did. So very nice, very neat, very simple to get to. And, you know, you don't get dirty crawling underneath the vehicle or anything.
And do you have any charge indicators on like the dash or on the plug itself?
Yeah, what if, are you displaying anything once it's plugged in?
Oh, yeah. In the reveal, I don't know if we showed that, but yeah, we have a FCA patented lighting system. It's actually right in the front center of the dash up top in the glass. So you can see it from 360. If you're in your house, you can look out. And it's basically a very simple light indicator, one that you are charging. So, you know, if you look out there, it has charging. And then two, you can see where you're at. And then also with our Uconnect system, you have it on your app. So you can look at your phone of how things are going for your charge. And you can program charge times too.
And how about like state of the battery? How much information are you showing once you're actually using it and driving? Is there a specific page in the Uconnect that shows you kind of the state of the battery and where the power is flowing, you know, that kind of thing?
Yeah, so center of the cluster, center of the wheel area, we allow you to customize that to what you bring up, what you turn on. So we show the total battery capacity, total battery range, gasoline range, combined range. You know, you can be a total geek and have all the parameters. We have a hybrid coach, which is telling you how you're driving. And then on the center, you can actually pull in some of those for power flows and really, you know, wow your kids and say, hey, that's where all this stuff is going. One thing I didn't mention is we actually have a max regen button, also selectable. So we actually, I'll say pseudo one pedal driving if you used to that in EVs. So not only can we display what you're doing, but we give you the ability to have this really max regen feel. So you lift foot, get a lot of deceleration, low traffic. You can just drive with just your throttle and no braking needed. So it's a really neat feature.
So did you have to apply any lessons learned from like the Pacifica Hybrid to the Wrangler? Are there any carryovers that you, between the two?
Yeah, you know, it's a front wheel drive configuration versus a traditional rear wheel drive or a four wheel drive configuration. So there's a lot of learnings, but we kind of think of the Pacifica was our Gen 1, and then we moved into this Gen 2, which is going across Renegade, Compass, and Wrangler with different architectures. Where we're really able to reuse is, I'll say, the complexity of the brain, this hybrid processor that we have. And that's really where we're reusing. So, you know, the millions and millions of lines of code that's going on in there. To be able to reuse that and not have to revalidate everything was really helpful to get this thing launched.
And any thought to doing, you know, I got to tell you, one of my favorite things in electric cars is the fact that they don't creep. Any thought of getting rid of creep, or is that one step too far for a plug-in hybrid?
Get rid of creep, you mean low speed?
Yeah. Like, so when you come to a stoplight, it just stops. You know, it doesn't creep forward, right? That was added a long time ago when automatic transmissions came into being because people...
I don't think I don't think we considered that. Don't think that was on my list of wishes from the brand or the consumer side. But maybe I'll write it down and see. I'll give you credit if we bring it in. How about that?
Yeah, once you get used to 1 foot of driving, then getting rid of the creep is nice, because we actually have two electric cars right now at the office. We've got a Model Y and we got a smart electric car, and the smart electric car has creep. And the Model Y, you can just disable it and electric it without it.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, it's, you know, it also holds a hill automatically, right? So it does all that.
Yeah. We do the hill hold. This will do a hill hold situation on there.
That's really good. Yeah.
Is the 2 liter the same that you'd find in the 2 liter e-torque gasoline only model? Yeah.
Absolutely, same engine. You know, we had to calibrate it a little bit differently to interact with, you know, engine off situations and things like that for the motor. But yeah, it's the same engine, same family of engines. Our global midsize engine, and it's a workhorse. It's a great engine, high fuel efficiency starting point.
Did you reduce the fuel tank capacity to make room for the battery?
Yeah, we did. Well, not make room for the battery. We did. It was about a gallon and a half or 2 gallons less, just for all the configurations underneath the vehicle. So we'd have to follow up and get the specs. I don't have it at the top of my head. Sorry.
That's okay.
Now, this question may be out of your area of expertise, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Does it also qualify for the federal tax rebate because it's a plug-in hybrid? You know, the $7,500.
I don't know exactly what we're going to qualify till we get our certification on the plug-in hybrid and whether HOV lanes and all those things. So we'll let the marketing and brand guys, as we get closer to launch, let you know what's going to be available.
Yeah, so it's actually pretty, let's just count them down. I mean, there's now so many different variants of the Wrangler, right? There's the traditional Pentastar. Then you can get the 2-liter e-Tour. Yep. Then you can get the diesel. And now you have the plug-in e-Torque hybrid. Which is pretty crazy. So four flavors of Wrangler. You know, I had a friend who was really good at business, and he said, if you want to be successful, give people a lot of choice. And you certainly are doing that.
Yeah, you know, and that's the whole kind of the spirit of the Wrangler. There's no excuses. We want our customers to have everything from the base model, if you want to call it that, where they really can do their conversions or their outfits or working with Mopar, up to really state-of-the-art, which the 4xe is doing. So I've driven them all. I drive them. I love driving the Wrangler. You know, it's just a fantastic vehicle, been here for decades. And, you know, we're just keep moving on and moving forward. Let others want to come copy us. That's fine. We're really going to continue to set the standard.
All right. I'll ask you the softball question. Which one's your favorite now? Pick a favorite child.
I would say the 4xe right now is my favorite, but it's my newbie. So you always like the new kid the best.
It's always the newest one.
Yeah, it's always the latest.
Well, we've got more to go and more to come. It's going to be fantastic.
Well, thank you for taking the time to chat with us, and thank you guys for listening and watching. If you're interested more in the vehicle, Tommy, you did a great video. Where's that at?
Yeah, it's over at tflcar.com. Just remember, 7.2 kilowatts.
Right, not 2.7. 2.5.
Yeah, that's my fault, yeah.
All right. Check out tflcar.com for more news, and what else?
Real world reviews.
Real world Wrangler 4xe reviews. See you guys next time. Ciao, and thank you very much.
Thanks. Have a good day, guys.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.